looking for more time? What about a pace that doesn't feel so breakneck, so rushed, so harried? How about keeping dreams but ceasing striving? In this episode, I share two simple activities that gave me more time, shut down striving altogether, and have returned my life to a pace that feels enjoyable as I go. All today on the Intuition for Changemaker show.
I am but a part of this. All I am is all I give. Everything that comes to me comes as sure as I will breathe.
Do you remember that a world on fire is also a world ripe for solutions? Do you feel committed to gorgeousness in your life, this world, and for those who inhabit our planet? Did you know that already inside of you, you have the perfect tool to help you navigate these times, adding positively to your life and the world? Friends, here is the great news. Intuition works at lightning speed, and you were born with it. It's the internal sense that you have uniquely tailored to you and designed to not only set you on the roads that are best for you, but also help you avoid the ones that are treacherous. I'm your host, Aimée Cartier. I've been a professional psychic since around 2007. I'm the author of the book, Getting Answers, Using Your Intuition to Discover Your Best Life. I've been teaching others to understand and use their own intuitive brilliance for more than a decade. Join me each week on the Intuition for Changemaker show for true stories and tools that will inspire you to harness your intuitive birthright to heal, shine, tend, and nourish yourself and this world. Hello, welcome. I am glad you are here. You know, I love to start the Intuition for Changemaker show by a shout out to a person who has taken the time to speak to me about my podcast. Partially because I value them so much, I write these podcasts alone in my studio. So your voices about the show are deeply meaningful to me. Recently, I was doing a reading for a client, and as this was her first reading with me, I asked her how she found me. She said, "I love your podcast. I always knew I would get a reading from you one day, and then the day came. But what I love about your podcast and your book, Getting Answers, is how it's so practical," she said. "It's like exercise and get enough sleep and your intuition is going to work better? What? And I love how you don't gatekeep information. You just offer up so much goodness. It's not secret or new agey at all." When she said all of this, I was like, totally. It's not new agey. Intuition is actually very old, like as old as humankind, an ancient sense, really. There's nothing new about it, actually. In any case, I really enjoyed that conversation with her. So thank you for that. You know who you are. So if you want to get in touch, you've got a few different options. On your podcast app, when you click on the show episode, you'll see the words, "Send us a text." When you do, I get them. I love to hear what you think about the shows. I'm also really interested in what questions or challenges you have about your intuition and intuition in general. Is there anything that, if answered, would clarify your experience with your intuition? I would love to know. You can also shoot me an email about this. If you go to aimeecartier.com/contact, you will find a button you can click to send me and my team an email. I will put a link to that in the show notes, actually. Or you can, of course, pop your questions in the text the show option, though recall that I can't respond to you via that platform. I can only read what you've written when you text the show. If you send in a question, I just may answer it on the air. So thank you for doing that. That would be the goal. Okay, let's get into today's topic. Two simple things I've done recently that have profoundly changed my life for the better. You may know, or if you don't, you should, that I have a program called Solutionaries. It's a year-long membership where we study, practice, and I teach all of the intuitive tools I use. Because if you're like me, you might want to use your intuition, which is your life-guiding sense, the one that helps your soul get the information that it needs to get from one end of your life to the other with satisfaction and aplomb. If you're anything like me, you want to use that sense with precision, not just a random thing that happens to you. You want to know, you want to be able to tune into it whenever you need it. And I find there isn't just one tool that works for every single situation. So in my Solutionaries program, I teach all of these tools. Our circle gathers every 2 weeks all year on new and full moons. We discuss the practices that everyone is learning. Everyone shares experiences with one another and people ask questions. It's really juicy and enlivening. Some of my alumni continue circling with us even after their initial program is done because it's so nice to have this community, to have the support and camaraderie, and to have somebody helping you troubleshooting as you learn to lean into your soul's knowing, your intuition. It's very rich. I love it. And so do all of my students as they report every gathering. So in addition to our conversations about our tools and practices, every new moon, I gather with my Solutionaries in the evening also online. This is all online because people are all over. We call this time New Moon Deep Dive. It's a guided by me 2-hour experience where we do the practices that help us hear our inner knowing. I think of it always like making time, like blocking out time to hear our inner wisdom. And if you remember last episode, episode 89, I talked some about scheduling time for intuition in your life. And you can listen to that episode to find out exactly what I mean. In any case, this New Moon Deep Dive is a guided experience where my students, where each person in our circle listens to the wisdom of their own soul. Last new moon, we were doing this exercise where we were making maps, so to speak, of the things that we already do that help us feel nourished. It wasn't an exercise in inventing more things to do, items to put on your to-do list. It was an exercise in acknowledging what we already do, each of us. Because to be a part of the remaking our world is undergoing, to be in a walking through fire or watching dumpster fires time that we are currently in, to move through this with aplomb and remain focused on the world we are endeavoring to create, we are creating, we must be nourishing ourselves all the time, deeply nourishing ourselves. It's the only way we are going to make it out of this boot camp of intensity kind of experience, still and continuously focused on that which we most want to create. I do these exercises with my students, or often beforehand. And one of the things that surprised me that came up when I was looking at my own nourishing activities was the act of lying down. Like, I literally often make time in the day to lay down. This isn't something I've done my whole life. I'm not even really a napper by nature, and I'm not napping now either when I'm laying down. I'm just getting horizontal for some minutes during the day. Like in transitions, I might lay down for 5 minutes after I drop my kids off at their classes or activities, or for a few minutes before I make dinner, or when I finish one work project and I'm about to transition to another, I just go lay down for a bit, for a tiny window of time. I was just doing this in my bed. I've been doing this for a while now. I probably have even mentioned it on some podcast or another. But now that the weather is nice again, I most often lay down outside on the grass in our yard, and I look up at the trees or I watch the birds while I lay there. I keep a blanket by our side door, so it's always there and ready anytime I want to lay down for a few minutes. With the weather warming up, my kids and I are getting back into the groove of the practice we call sit spot, where we simply sit outside quietly for 10 minutes. You guys, anyone can do this, obviously, anywhere. I recently took my daughter to Paris. It was so fun to show her the city. But when people ask her what her favorite part of the trip was, she usually says laying on the grass for hours in the Jardin du Luxembourg, the Luxembourg Garden, reading. It was literally laying on the ground in a park that was more joyful for her even than watching the Eiffel Tower lights come on in the evening, which I think was probably her, it might be one of her second favorites. Or eating macaroons, laying on the park in the Garden of Luxembourg, even trumped macaroons from bakeries. It trumped everything, literally. If you just joined us on the radio, I am your host, Aimé Cartier, and this is the Intuition for Changemakers show. Today, we are exploring two recent things I have done that have fundamentally shaped my life for the better. The first one was laying down during the day, not even napping, just laying in bed, or even better, way better, actually, on the grass outside. I'm going to tell you specifically the changes I have seen wrought by these two activities in a minute, and I'll tell you the second activity or choice I made. But first, I'm going to tell you another story to depict one of the ways I noticed the changes that have happened in my life. This year marks the 20th anniversary of the movie Pride and Prejudice, the most current or recent version, I should say. I know this because our movie theater just showed it again on the big screen to honor this anniversary. 20 years ago, when the movie Pride and Prejudice came out, I watched it in this very same island theater where I live. I have to tell you that first, I've always been very fond, that's a Darcy language if ever there was, I've always been very fond of period pieces that depict the 1800s. I feel so close to that century, like I popped right out of that one and came to this one. My daughter once described perfectly what things feel like when you've known them from other lifetimes. She said, they feel familiar, even though you might not have ever seen them before. The 1800s are very close to me. sometimes they're almost like an overlay of this time. It's kind of weird and hard to explain, and I could probably go on about that. But the easiest thing I can say is that they feel like my yesteryears, like yesteryears that I still remember vividly. I remember many of my lifetimes, actually, but this one is very close to me, as I keep saying. That's almost the only way that I can describe it. Like, maybe thus far it was my favorite of all time periods. I don't know for sure. It's certainly one that calls to me the most. Okay, again, I could go on about this, but I'm not going to, because past lives isn't even the topic of this episode. But it is relevant for describing what I'm about to tell you. When I watch movies from this time period, I remember what it felt like then. The first time I watched this movie, Pride and Prejudice, 20 years ago, I remember experiencing such a deep longing in my being for this bygone time period. Like, I just wished so much that I was back in that time period where so many things, certainly not everything, but many, many things, at least for me then, were simpler. Candlelight and time for poetry, dancing and slow visits with people. Things weren't rushed. Everyone was at a slower pace. So I went to watch the 20th anniversary showing of Pride and Prejudice in the theater again, because it is joyful to me, even though I've seen it so many times, because in some way it is like remembering or visiting a moment of my own past, because it brings me joy. To watch Mr. Darcy come through the field in his long coat and tall boots, I remember those outfits. I know it sounds weird, but I do. And one of the most profound parts of the experience of rewatching this film on the big screen was realizing that that longing no longer existed in me, because I had slowed my life to that steady and lovely pace, even in the year 2025. I had this wondering awe moment while being in the theater of, oh my God, I did it. I found the good pace. Even with the internet and cars and cell phones, I attribute taking time regularly to lay down during the day as one of the significant contributors to being able to find that so glorious pace in my life. So before I tell you specifically the changes I have seen resulting in my life by these two activities, I need to tell you the second thing. Because in reflecting, it's not just laying down, laying on the earth, that has slowed things down for me. That has reoriented me to a pace that feels just absolutely delicious. That is true. But there is something else I did several months ago now that probably made the biggest difference. Because I have had this practice of laying down regularly for quite a while now. Here is what I did. I closed the door on social media. I can tell you, I had been leaning that way for a long time, being on it less and less, and just generally not having a good feeling about time I spent there, which is my indication that it is time not to be there. Then, after Donald T. took office again, and it became clear that a few select business owners were trying to change things in our country and not for the better, in my opinion, I just couldn't get myself to show up there on social media. I just didn't want to give one more ounce of energy to that venue of communication. And for me, I should tell you, or I want to be clear, it's not just a personal choice. It could be a little like shooting myself in the foot as a business owner. It certainly, at one point, was a primary way that people found their way to me and my work, social media was. Still, I didn't feel good about it. And I feel pretty committed to orienting to what actually feels buoyant to me as a way of life and as a business decision. That just feels right to me. So I just stopped showing up there. I stopped sharing my podcast, my new podcast episodes on it. I stopped posting about my life. I stopped posting memes about intuition even. I saved all of those for my students. They get regular reminders and images via our circle communication about their tools and the importance of these practices. Eventually, as I settled into my new no social media experience, other good ideas of ways to reach people started to percolate to the surface strongly, which was a delight since I basically cut off one very obvious way for people to find me. It occurs to me now as I say this that I should probably here make an ask for you. So knowing that the ways that people find me is very organic. If you love this podcast, if you love an episode, if you share it with your friends or your family members or whoever, it really makes a big difference to me. It's literally how the podcast grows. And of course, as you know, because I think everyone with the podcast says this, if you review and you like things, that also boosts its ability to be seen by others. In any case, when I told my sister recently that I stopped social media, I should say also first, this is not a stance I have. It's not a flag that I am putting in the sand of everyone must do this or even a judgment. I fully expect everyone else to do what is best for them. I'm just sharing with you what has worked well for me because frankly, that is what I do. I share what works well for me. This is what I have been doing and teaching for years. I teach the things that work. Okay, so I just stopped opening those apps. Then eventually I moved them a few screens away on my phone because I wasn't looking at them or even being drawn to look at them anymore. So I didn't need them to be taking up space on my home screen. In any case, when I told my sister Nicole the other day about how I had given them up and how I feel like doing so gave me the final missing piece in something that I maybe longed for most of this lifetime, this simplicity, this spaciousness, this steady and amazingly delightful pace. The first thing my sister said was, that's because now you are getting dopamine hits from real life, not shallow dopamine hits from fake screen images, which I thought was insightful. Dopamine is a mammalian happy-making hormone, if the word is familiar, but you can't place it exactly. It's the hormone that makes you keep scrolling to potentially find another something good. The expectation that there could be something better, the anticipation high. The second thing my sister said was, you are inspiring me. This is really inspiring. So this led to this podcast today. So if this podcast feels encouraging for you, you can thank my sister Nicole because she was the one that put it into my idea that if it was inspiring for her, maybe it would be inspiring for others. So I should do a show on it. So stopping social media was super reorienting for me in an accidentally, completely graceful, like just turn around and see what is already there sort of way. And all this time arrived on my doorstep. I just walked right into extremely spacious moments. So these are the changes that I have noticed specifically, which I attribute to letting social media drop away and to laying down, physically laying down, especially outside during the day. Time for reading poetry. You know, because of what I said earlier, that this is kind of one of the things I miss about the 1800s is there's nothing to do in the evening. You just sit by the fireplace with some candlelight or in your bed under the covers and read or write or enjoy something creative. Okay, so discovering time for reading poetry has been something that I have just walked my way into from these changes. More time for reaching out and connecting with people, like calling a sister or a friend. Before, I used to feel like I just never really had time for that. Reading more really great books, like nonfiction especially. I've often and always read fiction, but I have more time to read nonfiction books and some really lovely ones that have been circling within my frame of reference for many years, but just never had the time to dig into. I have also slowed down. This I attribute directly to being in contact with the earth. Let's see, how else could I embellish that? It's a lovely feeling. I'll just say it's a lovely feeling. Not feeling rushed, feeling present and alive where you are. The feeling of striving has dropped away from my life. I feel like I just no longer have that feeling of trying to. I think for a long time, I have vacillated between my family life and my work. Our kids are homeschooled with me all the time. So I often felt like I was either with them or carving out time to work, to see clients for readings, to teach students, to write podcasts and write the documents that my students get to explain the intuitive tools they learn. I have a whole private podcast just for my students and who are solutionaries in the program. So there's a lot of behind the scenes work that I do, obviously, as well. But now, instead of having this toggle feeling between family life, to which I am really present, and then striving or moving my work forward or doing the things that you all know that I do, which is really delightful to me, which is why I keep doing it. Now, it's not like I no longer have goals or dreams or ambitions, but I feel zero striving to get there. I'm just moving at a really happy walking pace and enjoying the scenery so much as I go. I know I'll get there. And I'm having fun as I go. Okay. And another thing I've noticed, drum roll please. I'm totally kidding. You might laugh when you hear this next one. I walked right into the perfect window for laundry folding. I know that sounds funny. But laundry folding and putting away has been one of the nemesis of my life since I had children. I don't mind washing it and drying it. I do mind folding it and putting it away. And with four beings in a home, the laundry is just always there. My husband does laundry too. And so it's not like it all falls to me. And even my kids do their own laundry a lot now. They are of an age to do that. But since none of us really wants to focus on keeping up with the laundry, the laundry is just always there. So with so much space in my life, I discovered that mornings are actually perfect for laundry folding for me. It takes my body a while to fully wake up in the morning. My husband usually makes our family breakfast, and we both do schoolwork with our kids in the morning. But before that, there's this sort of milling around waking up window for me. One day, since I no longer scroll on Instagram while laying in my bed in the morning, I realized that mornings were perfect for laundry folding because you don't even really have to have all cylinders in go to fold a towel or a t-shirt. It's the one time of day I actually don't mind folding laundry at all. Let me be clear, lest you swing by our home. I am not by any means saying that I now keep up with the laundry. What I am saying is that it is no longer this oppressive thing hanging over me. I am at peace because I know that laundry folding and putting away does actually have a perfect place and time in my life. It's not just something that exists totally out of joint, which is how I always felt it. Okay, I think the laundry example is actually a stand-in for many ways in which I have discovered that there is actually time for things I previously didn't have time for. I think all of these changes are both a graceful discovery of more time and a reorienting toward what is most gorgeous, flavorful, and satisfying. And shockingly, for me, laundry included. All right, another example, the last one I'm going to say today is I am finding or making more time for doodling. Doodling, drawing, adding watercolor is a very joyful activity for me. I keep this box of watercolor paper in our kitchen on a shelf for easy access, which for a very long time I hardly ever use. Now, the other day, for example, I got a piece of watercolor paper out and just started my next drawing while I was on the phone with the insurance company. You know, it's usually one of those experiences that takes way longer than you want it to, but it also prevents you from doing anything else while you wait for the agent to check in with the 100 other departments that have the info you need. This time, I doodled the whole time. I was just totally into my drawing. I had zero impatience with the length of the sleuth work involved for my daughter's foot cream prescription. I just drew circles and zen doodled my way through the whole thing. It was lovely. Okay, these two simple activities, laying down and laying down on the earth and cutting out social media entirely, allowed me to add time, drop striving, and set a sustainable, enjoyable rhythm and pace to my life. One I had been longing for maybe this whole lifetime. Okay, friends, I hope this inspired. Give me a holler if it did. I would love to hear from you. You know the ways, I've already mentioned them. In closing, as always, remember, you matter. You are not alone. We are here together. As you are enough. All my love. This is Aimée Cartier, and thanks for listening. Hey, I can't even count the number of times I have heard from my students, I've been planning for years to study with you, and now is the time. Is this your year? I'm not talking about the self-study courses that I have available to you now, if you want to know your intuition, and I'll put some links in the show notes. But I'm talking about the real gem, the really juicy, ongoing, supportive, amazing community, live mentor experience that is my Solutionaries membership. Heads up, the next circle starts in the fall. Summer will blow by before we know it. So think about it. Put the tuition planning into your noggin now. Maybe you can start squirreling away to make it an easy yes for you to walk into our circle come autumn. I would love to have you. Our community is so rich and gorgeous. And if you are anything like the rest of us, you will sing the praises bi-monthly on the new and full moon of just how replenishing this time together is. So if you're hankering for a positive community and a mentor that will help you experience that you can trust and rely upon your own intuition, your soul's lifelong guide, and master these tools to your own wisdom, then I've got you. We'll do it together. All right, you'll find lots of links in my show notes, and you can always find me at aimeecartier.com. All my love.
I am but a part of this. All I am is all I give. Everything that comes to me comes as sure as I will breathe.